Welcome to Books, Sprouts, and Booze. This is your host, Jamie.
And Monica. Hello, hello.
Hello, friends. So this month we have a very interesting book. Well, we'll see. So it's Discognition by Stephen Shaviro. And his introduction, he's asking, what is consciousness? What is a subjective experience? You know, how do we think about thinking, and when is a person an alien or even like something artificial, conscious and sentient? And so he was using different science fiction novels to discuss these ideas, and sounded really interesting in principle. I really struggled with the book. I think this is the first podcast book I didn't finish. Like, I did not read all of this book, and it's not that long.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a struggle, which was disappointing because it's like two of my favorite things, thinking about consciousness and science fiction, and
right,
plus a little philosophy in there too, blended all into one. And
I found the writing style very hard.
Yeah, it felt like there was like a bunch of required reading for this book that we hadn't read.
Oh, I thought that too.
Yeah.
Like, if I had read all these stories, I might understand this more.
And if I had a philosophy degree specializing in Kant, you know, perhaps I would have understood the premise of what the book was asking. I wanted to like it real bad. And I just think that it, not necessarily that it's a bad book, but maybe it has a very specific audience.
I would agree to that, because I was so shocked at how many people on Goodreads loved this book and
yeah,
had it as their favorite book. And I was just like, huh, what did I miss?
Yeah, I was like, man, I thought I was smart. Maybe I'm not smart. I don't get it.
I don't, he's writing and I'm like, I've lost you. Where are we? Are we talking about the book? Is this real life? Is this another book? I don't know what's going on. I'm like, you lost me. I don't know. So would you recommend this book to someone?
No, that's a big no. I would not. I don't know a lot of people who, you know, it's definitely something that you would have to like study. Like, you would have to look up all the references and like really, like,
I've read the stories that he's talking about,
yeah,
in this chapter.
Yeah, it would be like a class.
Yeah.
Like a whole class, I think, could be this book.
So what kind of reader would most enjoy this book?
Yeah, I think definitely like a philosophy student. I don't even think like a literature student. I think this is more like you have to have that background in philosophy. And
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
And then, you know, yeah, then you would read the stories and then you could come up with like your own interpretation and then read the book and compare the two. I think that could be really interesting. That was like a level of work I was not prepared to put into this book.
Same. I kept getting lost too. I was like, well, the first chapter I thought was just dumb. This
yeah,
is so dumb. I was very disappointed with the first chapter.
Well, the first chapter was Mary is in a room with no color.
Right.
Right. And she somehow has had everything that's possible to know about color is in her brain.
She's been taught all about color.
Like, even above and beyond anything we know.
Right.
But she's never experienced color. So that was the question, is if she experiences color, if you let her out of this black and white room, is that going to further her knowledge of color, since she has all the knowledge of color that there is to know? I thought it was kind of a little twist on the Plato's allegory of the cave, kind of.
Yeah. Well, what irritated me about the whole premise is like, well, if you don't physically modify her so that she cannot see color, she's in color.
Mm-hmm.
Her skin is in color. Her body is in color. I'm like, this is stupid.
Yeah, she'd have to be in a dark room or like some sort of mechanism that turned everything into black and white TV, you know, kind of visuals. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, this, no. I'm like, this is dumb. And then when they're like, oh, well, her period would be red, I'm like, her whole body would have color.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is dumb. So dumb. Okay.
Yeah, that one was,
And then, so I got to chapter two. I'm like, all right, this is a little bit better. But I still thought it was kind of boring. And that was the, ooh, we think this computer software is sentient, but it doesn't really care about anyone else. I'm like, okay.
So I read most of that one. And I think if you look at it from the perspective of the IT techs who are trying to figure it out, you get a little bit more of that excited feeling. Like they're like, hey, you know, this computer is doing random things that it should not know how to do. Like, why is it doing this? And so that I felt was a little bit more interesting because they have these like big questions like, well, if this huge computer system that's actually, it's running like all these, like the heat
and the hospitals
in the hospitals, like the heat and the cameras and just all the background stuff you don't think about. And so then she starts asking, well, like if we shut this computer down and reboot it to get it to behave in a predictable way, like, is that ethical? Is this computer like alive or whatever?
So I work with a very large, cumbersome database that does do things that is not expected and are unpredictable. And I would not consider this database sentient. I would consider it broken. And they try to fix it and they break other stuff. And sometimes they just have to shut it off and turn it back on. So I felt, although chapter two was definitely way, way better than chapter one.
Yeah.
It was still a bit of a miss for me.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, I experienced this.
Yeah, that definitely puts a different spin on it than one that I'm aware of. I thought it was interesting, though, that it's like, you know, the what these computers and machines do are things that are outside of your normal awareness that you pay attention to. So that was kind of interesting for me to think about.
It was, I liked it way more than chapter one.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. And then I was like, well, this is kind of dumb. That's all right. Did any part of this book strike a particular emotion in you?
Well, I really liked the chapter about the digients. I mean, not the whole chapter, but yeah,
they were cute.
Yeah, I remember my kids having those little digital pets, you know, that you had to take care of. And I thought that story was heartwarming because, like, they raised these little digital pets from when they were little babies and they were made cute so that humans would bond with them. Yeah. And, you know, they have their own little personalities that develop depending on how they learn. And
they didn't want them to die. They felt compelled to keep taking care of them.
Yeah, even though, like, the company went out of business, so they had to, like, I don't even know. I think at one point they tried to put it in a little robot body. I don't know. It lost me. It was in and out of this chapter, too. But I thought the idea behind it was rather cute. And that did kind of, that was a little emotional, I guess, more so than the others.
So, in chapter four, Scott Baker's Neuropath is a science fiction thriller. That chapter scared me, and I didn't like it. And there was bits of it that I thought were super creepy.
Mm.
And that was the one where they put you in this machine, and the machine stimulates your brain and causes chemistry to happen in your brain for you to feel all these different feelings. So they, like, hijack your biology and make you have all these experiences. We're like, well, are they real? They're not real because you're not really there, but they're real because these biological processes are happening. And I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting to think about. But the whole Neuropath book was terrifying for me. I did not like it. I did not like it at all.
Yeah. Yeah, that is interesting. And we've often thought about that. Like, oh, we're just, you know, hijacked by our biology. So what if somebody hijacks your biology? Then what does that mean, you know?
Right. And so they would become sort of reprogrammed. And this guy that was sort of in charge of it could make you be anything. And it was super creepy. Did not like it. So it gave me, like, icky anxiety feelings, and I didn't sleep well after.
Was this the one where they optimized people's minds? Is that what it was?
No, I think that's the next chapter, okay. Thinking Like a Killer.
Oh, okay.
Wild Minds. Yeah, it's very similar.
I must have, like, blended those together in my brain because I don't have it in my notes. So I don't think I missed an entire chapter, but they probably sort of blended together.
The one that was thinking like a human, the one thing that stands out in me is that he programmed a prostitute to orgasm every time she mauled herself.
Oh.
And then she mauls herself to death.
Oh, my God.
I was like, okay, I think I'm going to be sick.
Yeah, that's like, a little horrifying.
This gives me super icky. So I'm like, no, I don't like this. And then, like, the one guy was a serial killer, but he didn't want to be a serial killer. So he would snap the spinal cord of the person that he was raping so that they knew they were being raped, but then they couldn't feel anything. So then he didn't feel like it was morally bad because they didn't know. They knew what was going on intellectually, but physically they weren't experiencing it.
Lord.
So then he would, like, rape them, and then he would kill them.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, what?
How is that better?
And then, like, yeah, the next chapter was the people that were being optimized, and I was like, yeah, okay, this is still creepy, too.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's, like, almost as bad. It's like their whole brains are just being, you know, your will is taken away. And, I mean, the optimizing made them, like, so they could inject knowledge into your brain, right?
Right.
So if you were gonna, there was no going to school. If you were gonna be a doctor, they would just, like, prime your brain with doctor knowledge. Yay, you're a doctor. So then different criteria had to be involved in, like, employing people. So they had to be, like, willing to work all the time. And, you know, they would work around the clock and all these different things.
It's more of your personality than actual ability to do things. Yeah.
So I think the optimizing kind of made them, like, it, like, did something weird to their emotions. It was very, very weird.
It was. And then the guy was like, I don't want to be optimized because I'm morally broken. And I was like, okay. And then he's like, I killed my wife. And I was like, wow, I'm surprised. I actually didn't see that coming, even though this book chapter is, you know, think like a killer. So
yeah,
I should have seen it coming, but I was like,
Yeah.
So, did the book change your opinion about anything, or did you learn something new from it?
I'm going to go with no.
Also, no. I did realize that I really do not like thrillers at all. So, I mean, like, that was reemphasized.
Yeah, I just felt like, you know, it just wasn't relatable to my life.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you compare this book to other books you've read that are sort of similar themes, you know, or how is this book, do you think?
You know, I've read other books about consciousness, and I think we've done some in this podcast, like when we were talking about, like, the psychedelics. You know, Michael Pollan, wasn't it How to Change Your Mind? And those sort of things. So we have had discussions about consciousness before, and I felt like that book, for example, was way more applicable to, like, looking at your life and things you take for granted that you think, and then turning them upside down, right? And coming up with just a fresh outlook on what it means to be a conscious human being. You know, this book was not like that at all. It was more like a
thought experiment.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Good. Mm-hmm. That was good. That's what it was.
Yeah, definitely a thought experiment, which I had a lot of hopes walking into the book. And I was like, ooh, this sounds really interesting. I like to think about thinking. And then I was like,
no.
Huh. I have no idea what's going on here.
Well, and I think there's something to be said, and this may be just a personal preference, but I like books that talk to me like I'm a human being. In this book, I mean, I'm very well read. I have been reading forever since I could read. I love to read. I have a decent vocabulary. Uh-huh. I was having to look up the meanings of words. This is so cumbersome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was very surprised at how many times I'm like, I don't know what this word means. And then I was like, yeah, Google didn't know either. I was like,
I think you can be intelligent and write an intelligent book without using $20 words every other paragraph. I feel like that muddies your, you know, what you're trying to say.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us about the drinks you made for us today.
Oh, yes. Well, we should have made this last time. I made us White Russians, which is a favorite from, oh my goodness. That was just the happy bells for the really good drink. But yes, I made us White Russians. So it's one part each of Kahlua and vodka and half and half on ice.
So good. Yes. So smooth and delicious. I'm like, I could probably just drink half and half straight, but boozy half and half is even better.
Yes.
So there's only 7 chapters in the book, and we've talked about 5 of them. The 6th one is thinking like an alien, and I think that was probably the longest chapter in the book, and I skimmed it. I skimmed the entire thing. I didn't even find any interesting parts to it.
The only thing I wrote down about this one is that it's like, which I thought was the one interesting part was, we assume that, say, there are aliens out there that with some sort of translation that they will be relatable to us in some way. And what this is saying is it's like, they have 0 things in common. For example, the alien could mimic human speech and English and even like answer, you know, questions in a way that made sense, but there was no cognition there. There was no understanding or anything. And I thought, well, that's pretty interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
I agree with that. That is interesting.
Yeah. That's all I got from that one. I also skimmed that one.
And then the last chapter was thinking like a slime mold. And
yeah, lost me.
I got nothing. Nothing.
Well, there was a part where like the slime molds can like, so they did this thing where they put food and it was like the Tokyo train system, and like the slime mold plotted like an efficient course through that. And that also the slime mold always picked food that was closest to a 2-to-1 protein to carb ratio. And I found that interesting because I'm like a carboholic. Like I would just, if I could just eat bread from morning until night, I think I could. So I was like, well, that little slime mold knows what's good for it more than me. But yeah, that was all I got from that chapter.
Yeah. Yeah. Is this even a book? I'm like, what is this? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I'm like, I don't want to be a slime mold.
No.
I'm like, I don't want to think like, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
So he does have an afterword to 22 thesis on nature. And I, at that point, my brain was fried and I said, pass.
Yeah, I did as well. Yeah, I was like, you're lucky you got me to the end of the book, buddy. And, you know, I hate to critique anybody because really writing a book is really hard. And you can tell that this man put a lot of thought, a lot of research
into
this book.
Yeah, like all of his cited references, and we're excited. I mean, it's long. Pages, it's a lot. And pages. So yeah. many references and so many cited works. Like,
yeah.
It is very well researched.
And well thought out, and probably just, like I said, we're the wrong audience, or he hasn't found a way to translate it into, like, informing the normal average
Not person. Some sort of philosophy student.
Right.
Yeah. Just normal Joe on the on the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I feel so relieved that this is over.
I know. So, like, I'm like, oh, I need to read. Oh, I think I'm going to do some laundry. Oh, I need to read. I'm going to just sweep them off the floors real quick. I need to read. Oh, here, let me fold this basket of clothes. And, like, normally, I read before anything else. It's like, oh, I'm reading. Oh, crap, it's time to go to bed. Unless I'm, like, reading, I'm like, huh, I wonder what's going on Facebook. And I'm like,
I was reading a fantastic fiction book. And so it was really hard for me to, like, I would say, okay, I'll read 3 pages and then I can read a chapter of my other book. Oh, anyway.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So overall, I would give this a 3 out of 10 and do not recommend.
Yeah. Same rating. Here. Yeah. Oh, well, we can't win them all.
No, I mean, it's good to have a book that you think is going to be good and be disappointed by it. Because, like, you know, you learn stuff.
True. And don't believe all of the recommendations you see on Goodreads.
Oh my gosh. To a mixed review of them. Yeah. I need to write a review on Goodreads on this book. Like,
yeah,
this is well above my head. I'm well read and this made no sense to me. Can you please make a book like this about thinking, but for somebody much more general of the population? Not dumb.
And yeah. And somebody not as obsessed with, like, murder.
Oh my gosh, yes. And, like, I read a lot and I had never heard of these stories.
Me either. They must be old. I didn't
hear of them. Well, some of them were.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, how can I? I don't like.
I think what? They were short stories and novellas and not really maybe books.
Some of my, yeah. I was like, this is definitely a short story. And yeah. I was wondering if some of them were novellas, but he said that one of them was a novel. And I was like, never heard of this.
Huh.
I don't know. You have any parting thoughts?
Just can't wait till next month.
Yes. So we have some other very good books on the list that we know will be good.
Yes.
So we look forward to speaking with you again next time.
Yes. Have a good month.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.